Today on The Journey.
Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You crack open that door and you walk into the area of sin, and it will be all over you. It is hungry. It desires to eat you alive.
Putting a tether on the lion of temptation is not only doable, it's demanded. So today, Ron Moore offers a leash, a whip, and a way of escape. With those means, you'll find prayerful defense from the dangers of temptation. Before that, we want to offer you a copy of Ron's printed devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a guide to seeking spiritual protection on the journey.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been tempted? One of my temptations now is this big bowl of candy in the house. You got Snickers. Well, Snickers are all gone, but you got Baby Ruth's, Butterfingers, Kit Kats, and right there, we just wish that chocolate was the only temptation that we faced. Everyone has experienced temptation. Sometimes, man, it comes at us quick, just like that. And right on the spot, we have to make a decision. Are we going to obey or not? Sometimes, temptation is like a pot of water over a fire. It starts out so innocently, and then it gets warmer and warmer, and then it's hot, and then it is boiling. And we have to make a decision to give in to this deep emotion within us or not. We know that when we do, we wish we could go back and hit the delete forever making that decision to give in the first place. All of us have been tempted. All of us know what it feels like. And all of us know that temptation can take on a life of its own. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses this issue of prayer. He has told us that we should never use prayer to impress people. We should never babble on and on using a formula and repeated words, meaningless repetition, he says in prayer. But he tells us that we should pray like this. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we considered what that means, to hallow the name of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talked about what it means to pray that we live more like a child of heaven than we do a child of earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And we talked about what it means to live in daily dependence on God and to differentiate between a necessity and a luxury. Today we want to focus on verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We say that with me? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, at first reading, it may sound like Jesus is insinuating that God is the one who brings temptation into our life. God, don't lead us into temptation as you normally do. Do you think that's the case? Does God tempt us? Does God lure us? Does he put a lure in front of us like we would put a lure in front of a fish and see if we'll take the bait? Does God tempt us? Well, as you know, the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. So turn to James chapter 1 and let's answer that question. Look at verse 13. When tempted, we're all going to be tempted. We already know that from Scripture and from practical truth. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Temptation does not come from God. No one can say God is tempting me. It is not in the person of God to tempt us. Neither does our loving heavenly Father dangle temptation in front of our eyes, seeing if we'll take the bait. Neither does he have his angels put a stopwatch on us to see how long it takes us to give in. Temptation and sin are not game to God. He commands us to be holy as he is holy, to be separated from sin as he is separated from sin. In fact, when we are tempted, God says that he will give us the strength to resist and a way to escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Now think about what Paul has said. Never flatter yourself into thinking that the temptation that you are facing is unique, that you are the only one in the entire world from its beginning that has ever felt the strength and desire of this temptation. Don't flatter yourself into that. Temptation is not unique. No temptation has seized you, but what is common to man, common as the air we breathe. But know this, God is faithful, and he will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will never allow you to be bowled over by temptation. He will never allow you to sit there and have this vacuum of temptation suck you in against your will. And know this, when you are tempted, and you will be, we will all be tempted. When you are tempted, God will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care what the desire feels like. I don't care how the emotions are boiling. God will provide an exit and you can get out, an escape route that you can find. Temptation doesn't come from God. So, where does it come from? Well, let's look at Scripture. Two sources. First one found in verse 14, James chapter 1. We saw that when tempted, no one can say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But look at verse 14. "But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed." What's the first source of temptation? Me. It comes from my sinful nature. It comes from my evil desires. I cannot blame anybody else. When we become a Christian, the penalty of sin is done away with. Christ died on the cross for our sin. He paid the penalty in full. And when we trust in him as the only one who died for our sin, the only one who could have ever paid the penalty, when we trust in him as the only way to God, the penalty of sin is gone. We are a child of God and will forever be. But the propensity to sin, the sinful nature, is not eradicated. It is still there in our life, and it will be until the day we die. First source of temptation is me. We are the ones who enjoy the gossip and the rumors and the chronic complaining. Not because God puts that sin in front of us and lures us and wants to see if we can hold off, but because we enjoy the juicy stuff. God does not cause me to say hurtful words to Lori. In fact, he says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword." But because of my sinful nature, because of desire to control or power, to always get my way, sometimes those words come out like poison darts. God does not cause us to click the mouse that leads to the seamier sites on the internet. You own that yourself. God does not tell us to spend our money on luxuries around us, to just get more stuff. In fact, he tells us that he gives us resources for a reason, so that we will expand ministries and so that we will share the gospel and so that we will take care of the poor and needy. We're the one that rationalizes how to spend our money on stuff. Remember, our Father in heaven is perfect. He cannot be tempted. That is not in his person, nor can he tempt anyone. He is a loving Father. We are dragged away and enticed on our own. Remember Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, they brought a gift, an offering to God. The offering was fine. Both of them brought great offerings. But as always, the issue of the offering is your heart. And Abel's heart was good. It was pure before God. Cain had an issue. And God accepted Abel's offerings, did not accept Cain's offering. And Cain was mad because God would accept Abel's offering and not his. In fact, he was so mad that it showed on his face. And in Genesis chapter 4, God says this to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" But if you do not do what is right, listen to this, God kind of personifies sin. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God says temptation is like a wild animal crouching at your door. And you crack open that door and you walk into the area of sin and it will be all over you. It is hungry. It desires to eat you alive. And so this part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus puts before us is for spiritual protection. First, God, protect me from me. Keep me from being carried away and enticed by my own desire to sin. God, protect me from me. Give me the intelligence to stay away from places that weaken my resolve. Protect me from me. God, help me build the safeguards, strong safeguards that don't allow me to cross over into sin. Protect me from me. When sexual temptation comes and it gets hot and I want to go that route, God, protect me from me. Show me the exit sign and help me not walk but sprint through the escape route. Keep me from people who pull me down. Give me the courage to walk through this life friendless than to be surrounded by friends who continually pull me down, even if they're sitting by me in church. Lord, you know I'm tempted by shiny things. Help me to differentiate what I need and then how to use your resources in a way that honors you. The love of money, Paul tells Timothy, is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs, but you, man or woman of God, flee from all this. Lord, some of you may say, you know, I'm not happy in my marriage right now, and I want to get out. And the sin of breaking my for better, for worse, till death do us part vow is crouching at my door. Give me the strength and the courage to be obedient and stay in this marriage even when I don't want to be obedient. Lord, I've lost my job. And you know that desperation and anxiety is coming into my heart. Don't let me do foolish things. I'm always amazed at how many people without jobs play the lottery and go to the casino thinking that God somehow is going to use gambling to give them what they need. And some of you may be single. And you may be saying, I really want to get married. And I've been waiting a while. And I'm getting less and less particular. But protect me from making a decision that I'm going to regret. And if I'm in a relationship right now that I know is wrong, show me the exit and help me get out of here. You see, temptation is the crossroads between right and wrong. Temptation is not a sin. I'm going to say that again. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. But temptation is the place where we make up our mind and we choose to go on the right path, and that path will not be easy, but it will lead to blessing. Or we choose to go on the wrong path. It will always be easy, but it will have some dire consequences. So this part of the prayer is, God, protect me from me. Help me to make the right choices. There's another part of the prayer. Not only protect me from me, but protect me from who? Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the first source of temptation is me. Second source of temptation is Satan himself. And here the prayer is very simple. God, keep me from the assaults of Satan and all his attempts to make me fall. Going against him one-on-one, I will lose every time. I cannot handle it against him. He has the best first move always. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, Satan is not all-knowing, but he knows all about the human condition. He sets his traps accordingly. He will lure you with the things that are alluring to you. He is deceptive and deceitful. Lying is his native language. He makes luxuries look like necessities. He can blind us with shiny things. He's the author of confusion. In fact, he can make selfish ambition look to be God's will for our lives. His offerings to us are like candy. It is sweet, and he continues to feed us until our soul is nauseated. He can make gross sin enjoyable, Scripture says, but only for a short time. By the time we come to our senses, we are entangled in his snare. So God, I am no match for Satan. Protect me from him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says this, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. You cannot go against Satan on your own. Put on the full armor, not your armor, but the armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, continue to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see, not only pray for yourself, but pray for those around you. So how do you put on the armor of God? Prayer. And that's why prayer is so critical in our life. That's why we have to learn to pray. We've emphasized throughout this series that we need to cut all the formulas and prayer language, because prayer is a personal conversation with God. It is building a relationship with God. We don't have to pray with acronyms of ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Those may be fine for a while, but learn with those. Don't think that 15 years later, that's the only way you pray. Talk with God on your own, like the prayers of David in the Psalms. Read his prayers and see how he poured out his heart to God. They were real words and they were raw words. He expressed his heart. Paul says, amazingly, that when we address God, we can even address him as Father. Abba, Father. Abba, the Aramaic word, the endearing term that we would use for a parent. Our equivalent is Daddy. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? That we can stand before the God of the universe and address him not just as my father, but Daddy. Can you use such an endearing term with God? In his book called Sacred Pathways, the writer Gary Thomas addresses what he calls casualties of mechanized religion. And he says it's one thing to find spiritually empty people outside the church. I mean, you'd expect that. But he said, you know what the tragedy today is in the evangelical church? Finding spiritually empty people in the pews. And he gives several reasons for those. I have time for two. See if you resonate with these. The first one is this. Many people lapse into routine devotions. Same time, same place, same method, same prayers. Boring. And you wonder why you're not connecting with God. You're boring yourself to death. And probably boring God as well. And when it comes to devotions, we're looking for consistent, but not the same. Can you imagine if you only spoke with your spouse or a good friend in the same room at the same time, using the same language every day, and that's it. And you didn't talk to him anymore. that doesn't develop relationship. Scripture tells us that the mercies of God are new every morning. They're fresh. We should sing a new song, the Bible says. So shake things up. Try a new translation that you've never read before. Take a prayer walk in the woods. Just don't close your eyes when you're walking. You can pray with your eyes open. Read scripture out loud. Journal. Go to some place where no one else is and sing your favorite hymn or your favorite song to the top of your lungs. We can't allow our time with God to be routine. And for me, that's very important. I can journal for a while, and this is great. And then I find myself writing the same things over and over and over. And so I have to do something different. You see, you can't expect to do the same devotion over and over and over and over again and it be the same. It may have really connected you with God this time, but it doesn't mean it's going to connect you with God every day for the rest of your life. Shake things up. Here's a second one that Thomas says. Many people fall into a soul-numbing rut. Listen to what he says. Their devotions seem like nothing more than shadows of what they've been doing for years. They've been involved in the same ministry for so long they could practically do it in their sleep. It seems as if nobody in their small group has had an original idea for 3 years. They finally wake up one morning and ask, is this really all there is to knowing God? You know how you get out of a rut? You get out of the rut. Shake things up. Get in a new area of service. Stretch yourself. You've been doing something for so long, you can do it in your sleep. You're being bored by your service. Do something different. Stretch yourself. You'll have something new to talk to God about.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Have you ever happened upon an old, familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of, items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. He compares scripture with scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. We'll send More Than Words to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Take your Bibles and open to the last book. The book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation is a translation of the Greek word apocalypsis. We get our word apocalypse from it. And a lot of times when you think of the word apocalypse, you think of terror and you think of devastation and you think of destruction. But the word simply means an unveiling or an uncovering of something hidden. So this book of Scripture demonstrates that He cares so much about us. He wants us to know, even in the difficult times of life, that He's never going to leave us, that He's never going to forsake us, that He will always be there for us, that He wins, and we will celebrate that victory forever and ever and ever. Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It is from Him. And He wants us to know that He's coming again. Are you ready for Him to come back? Are you living in expectation?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember our offer of Ron's devotional booklet, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.